This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back onto this edition of the Kona Edge. We're going to be chatting some cycling today, and we touch base once again with John Rutherford to find out what he's done on the bike to get faster. And he is a machine, let me tell you. He is a monster on a bicycle. Before we get into that chat, though, a massive thank you to the sponsor of this edition of the Kona Edge. It is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're in the markets for new wheels for your bicycle, perhaps you're looking for racing wheels, look no further than Wheel Science. Let me tell you why. Because they have all the performance for half the price. I kid you not. You may have heard an interview I did with Joe and Peter Coombe just a short while ago. But they have a phenomenal business and are creating something really, really special. These wheels are world class. Let me tell you, they've been tested against some of the best in the world, and they've come out right up there. And like I said, they're a fraction of the cost. So if you're in the market for new wheels, the URL to get to is thekonaedge.com/wheels. Okay, that's thekonaedge.com/wheels. And the good news is, Peter and Joe have been kind enough to give you, as a listener of the Kona Edge, a 10% discount. So all you need to do when you're checking out is make sure you use the coupon code Kona Edge. That's Kona Edge, and we'll give you 10% off. Pretty cool, I think. Go check it out. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels. We chat some cycling now with John Rutherford. John, welcome back onto the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure to be here. Thanks again for the opportunity.
John, we always joke with people who come from a swimming background saying they've got a bit of an unfair advantage, but you've definitely got an unfair advantage on the bike. Having grown up racing bikes competitively as a youngster, you've done some serious mileage over the years, and having that base coming into triathlon has definitely helped.
Yeah, I certainly had the base. By the time I got into triathlon, it had been probably 12 years since I'd done any serious volume on the bike. It did come back. However, I found that I really had to put some work in order to really have the strength necessary. It wasn't so much of, a VO2 max or aerobic fitness question for me. It was really the strength for the back end of the Ironman bike that I really had to put work into. And that's not something that anybody's born with. So, it definitely took some work, and some of the big volume days really hurt, but they're really effective as well.
We were chatting about it in our first chat, and you were talking about the ability to suffer. And if you look at the Tour de France, which finished recently, for me, in my mind, those professional cyclists, I don't know any other athletes on the planet who can suffer like a professional cyclist in a Grand Tour can. And cycling teaches you that. Do you think that's helped you in your Ironman and triathlon career?
Yeah, I definitely think there's something to that. I think it was Greg LeMond who said that you don't, it doesn't get any easier. You just get faster. And like you were saying in the Pro Peloton, that ability to, go to the well over and over again after 3, 4, 5 hours on the bike, having the memory of that and the confidence, that it's okay to hurt. It's okay to suffer. You can recover and do it all over again. If you're fueling properly and you've done the work, having that confidence is huge. And that comes from training. It comes from background. Definitely helped having that background with cycling. And I say this in my professional life. I'll say this in my personal life, in triathlon specific as well. I've never suffered like I've suffered on the bike. There's just something about the sort of linear nature of pedaling. You can't do quite the same thing to yourself when you're either running or in the pool, at least not sustainably the way you can over and over again on a bike.
Absolutely. Coming back to cycling and triathlon after so many years, you said you did manage to pick it up. It came back fairly quickly. Do you think in your comeback, essentially, there's been a few things that you've done that you think has really moved the needle for you and helped improve your bike performance?
Yeah, certainly. And one of the things I learned from my coach, I definitely credit him with this, is approaching triathlon, approaching long course as a strength sport. I think we take for granted that it's aerobic endurance, and obviously that's a factor. But in terms of performing well and performing your best in Ironman, it really comes down to having some strength and resilience in the back half of the ride, and certainly all of the run. And a lot of the work we did was really focused on strength and resilience after you've been in the saddle for 2, 3, 4 hours, and being able to continue to put the watts out. So a lot of the sessions I did were really focused on that. So, low cadence, max effort, repeats, you get some anabolic response to that, but also you really just build up a capacity for muscle recruitment, that you don't necessarily get by just doing the long, slow distance stuff. So, did quite a bit of work, quite a few sessions where, you'll do a build to Ironman pace, and then you'll do quite a bit of strength endurance work on the back, from the very back end, and that really simulates race day. And being able to repeat the power output that's required in a fatigued state on the back end of the ride is something you really have to focus on. It's not something you're going to get by doing Tabatas or VO2 max intervals. It's sort of a different skill set.
You also mentioned that due to work, particularly in the build up to your first one, you spent quite a bit of time on the Wahoo Kicker. Does the indoor trainer play a big part in your training normally?
Yeah, it does. Definitely, harkening back to our earlier conversation about training efficiency and getting the work done around your professional schedule, your family schedule, being able to hop on that thing, it is super efficient. There's nowhere to hide. There's no coasting. There's no braking. There's minimal getting dressed. You just get on the thing and you got your iPad or your iPhone there or whatnot, or not. You just get on and drive the thing. Also, with the technology, you can really kind of measure your performance and your gains, without any sort of emotion involved. You know exactly where you're at, if you're progressing or not. And you can really design some brutal workouts. And also you take the risk of crashing out of the game as well. And you control the environment to a certain extent.
Absolutely. From a safety perspective, you can't beat it unless you're really clumsy and you fall off in your lounge. But that's one of those things. As far as favorite workouts go, what do you love doing on the bike, John?
Oh, gosh. Favorite workout on the bike. I gotta say that... getting on and doing, I hesitate to say this, that I don't know what this says about me as a person, but 5 hours on the kicker, in terms of Ironman prep. The sort of session where you do, 2.5, 3 hours easy, like stupid easy, to get yourself, well and aerobically warmed up. And then you launch into either, 15 minute or 30 minute, repeats at race watts. And doing that for 5 hours on the kicker, there is no preparation like that. I mean, it is super effective. And come race day, the mental toughness it builds of being in the bars, being in the aero bars, being on the kicker, it feels like such a gift to get out on the road. And those watts feel so much easier when you're actually out on the open road. There's really something to it.
There's only one word to describe that, and that's masochist.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think there's probably, if you're listening to this podcast, there's probably a little bit of that in you. So.
Absolutely.
Most of the folks listening can probably empathize.
John, as always, great to catch up. Thank you for your time today. I look forward to talking a little bit about your run, but we'll save that for next time.
All right, thank you.
And that's it for this edition of The Cone Edge. Much appreciate you listening and having you along for the rides. And speaking of along for the ride, if you're looking for brand new wheels, a massive thank you to our sponsor, Wheel Science. They have got an unbelievable range of wheels. If you're in the market, you definitely want to check them out, okay? All the performance at half the price. They've done independent testing and their wheels are phenomenal. They come with a lifetime warranty as well. So go check them out. The URL to get to, and it's in the link or in the show notes to this episode of The Cone Edge. So in the podcast play you're listening to, all you need to do is click through from there. But it's thekoneedge.com/wheels. That's where you can get all the details. And make sure that when you do check out, you use the coupon code KONAEDGE, okay? Because Joe and Peter have been kind enough to give you, as a listener of the Kona Edge, 10% off. That's Kona Edge, all one word, at checkout, and we'll give you 10% off your wheels. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, it's cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.